إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Beloved Muslims, dear brothers and sisters, all of us know that we are now in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, and Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah and Dhul-Hujjah are the months of Hajj. They are called as the month of Hajj. Meaning, if someone is to intend to go to Hajj, one can start performing the rituals of Umrah and Hajj during these months. And tomorrow, or the day after tomorrow, will be the first day of Dhul Hijjah. As you know, Eid is on the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah. You brothers and sisters, we are here in the United States, and there are hundreds of thousands of people right now in Mecca and Medina in preparation for the performance of this great ritual, Al-Hajj. However, if I were to ask every one of you, how do you feel towards being in Mecca right now? And I'm sure 100% that every one of us feels longing towards that place. Just a feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in the heart of every believer to love being in that sacred place, Al-Baytul Haram. Dear brothers and sisters, even though we may not get the reward of Hajj being here, away from the sites and the rituals of Hajj, however, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us a great opportunity of worship during these days. Because we are to receive the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, which are very, very blessed days. And before I proceed, I would like to quote one great imam, his name Al-Hafiz ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali, who said in his book Lata'if Al-Ma'arif, لَمَّا كَانَ اللَّهُ قَدْ وَضَعَ فِي نُفُوسِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَنِينًا إِلَى مُشَاهَدَةِ بَيْتِهِ الْحَرَامِ وَلَيْسَ كُلُّ أَحَدٍ قَادِرًا عَلَى مُشَاهَدَتِهِ كُلَّ عَامٍ فرض الله على المستطيع الحج مرة واحدة في عمره، وجعل موسم العشر مشتركا بين السائرين والقاعدين، فمن عجز عن الحج في عام قدر في العشر على عمل يعمله في بيته يكون أفضل من الجهاد الذي هو أفضل من الحج. He's saying, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this love, this craving, this longing in the heart of the believers, towards Al-Bayt Al-Haram, towards seeing and witnessing that sacred place. And not every person is able to be there every year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined us to be there once upon a lifetime. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed the Muslims all over the world a season of worship that is common between those who are performing the Hajj and those who cannot perform the Hajj that year. A season in which they can earn rewards that exceeds the reward of al-jihad fi sabilillah azza wa jal, which is something better even than the Hajj itself. Yes, indeed, dear brothers and sisters, we are before a great opportunity and before a season of righteousness and dedication, sincerity, and worship. And this is because of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this ummah. Even though Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that أَمَرُوا أُمَّتِ بَيْنَ السَّتِينَ وَالسَّبْعِينَ, that the lifespan of my ummah is between 60 and 70. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us during our lifetime many opportunities that if we get advantage of, would be like the person who lived very long time. As Imam Razi mentions about Laylatul Qadr, for example, he says that وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فِي كُلِّ سَنَةٍ فَكَأَنَّمَا رُزِقَ أَعْمَارًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever take advantage of Laylatul Qadr every year, it is as if he has lived many lives, because every Laylatul Qadr is equivalent to the worship of more than 80 years. This is by the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of those seasons, one of those opportunities is the seasons of the first 10 days of the Hijjah, about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيْلٍ عَشَرٍ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said wal-fajr, He is making an oath. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose something to be the subject of His oath, this is to draw our attention to the great position that this thing has in His sight. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said wal-fajr by the dawn, wal-ayalin ashr, and the 10 days. And the scholars say that the 10 days here refer to the first 10 days of the Hijjah, when Allah the Almighty select these days to be the subject of His oath. Without a doubt, this is an evidence that these days are very virtuous indeed in His sight. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also made mention for these days in another place in the Quran, when He said لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ وَيَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ عَلَى مَا رَزَقَهُمْ مِنْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ. Talking about the days of Hajj, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, so that they may witness some benefits for them, and make mention of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during a known number of days. These days refer to the 10 of the first 10 days of the Hijjah. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed these days. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that they include the best day and the greatest day ever, and that is the day of An-Nahr. The day of An-Nahr is the day of Eid. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَعَظَّمُ الْأَيَّامِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمُ النَّحْرِ ثُمَّ يَوْمُ الْقَرْضِ, that the greatest day in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the day of Nahr. And remember, this is a day that is the busiest day of Al-Hajj. In it, they move from Muzdalifa to Mina, they throw the stones at the main Jamara, and they go back to Mecca, and they make seven rounds, they make Sa'i and Tawaf, Halq, and they slaughter. It is the busiest day of Al-Hajj, and this is the greatest day in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever. And then comes next after that Yawmul Qar, which is the day that comes after that, when the people settle in Mina for 2 or 3 days. So part of these 10 days is the greatest day ever. And there is a debate between the scholars about which is better, because we also heard a lot about the virtues of the last 10 days of Ramadan. So which is better in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the last 10 days of Ramadan or the first 10 days of the Hijjah? And the summary of the discussions of the scholars is that the days of the Hijjah are better than the days of the last 10 days of Ramadan, and the nights of the last nights of Ramadan are better than the nights of the first days, 10 days of the Hijjah. And some scholars that in general the days of the Hijjah are better, but in specific the night of Qadr is better than any other night. The point is, we are before a season that is no less than Ramadan, dear brothers and sisters, and therefore we need to be ready and receive it and take advantage of it in the best way. It is a day about which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma min ayyamin al-amal as-salih fiha ahabbu ila Allah min hadhihi al-ashr." There are no days in which performing righteous deeds is dearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the days of al-ashr, the first 10 days of the Hijjah. And they said, and this is in Sahih al-Bukhari, the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum said, "Wala al-jihadu fi sabilillah," and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Wala al-jihadu fi sabilillah illa rajulun kharaja binafsihi wa malihi falam yarji' min dhalika bi shay." They said, not even jihad fi sabilillah. He said, not even jihad fi sabilillah, except in the case of a person who set out for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with himself and with his possessions, and never comes back with anything. So it is days where, and this is, by the way, also another virtue for these 10 days. The fact that the righteous deeds are dearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these days than other days, this is another added virtue for these 10 days of the Hijjah. And probably it is because during these 10 days many people are performing multiple acts of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, like salah, like siyam, like hajj, like many other acts of worship that are not combined like it is combined during these 10 days. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وإمام المتقين محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Again, we are talking about the virtues of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, and Dhul Hijjah is going to start either tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. And now, after we know some of these virtues, the question is how to best receive these blessed days of the Hijjah. And the answer is that number one obligation, we need to move from our way every obstacle that prevent us from benefiting from these days. You know what is the real stumbling block in our way that may prevent us from benefiting from these days? Is the hardness of our hearts. If we don't cleanse these hearts before we start these days, then no matter how many physical acts we perform, worship acts that we perform, we may not benefit from these acts. So number one obligation is to clear our hearts. And this can be done by sincerely repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there is nothing more damaging to the condition of our heart than our own sins. You know how poison is detrimental to our body? The sins are more detrimental to the condition of our heart, and therefore we need to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sign of the righteous people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has been forgiven for all his sins, the past and the future and the present, used to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times a day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described as-salihin who wake up before Fajr, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and standing in devotion before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sincerity, that وَبِالْ أَسْحَادِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, that they seek His forgiveness in the time of Sahar, which is the pre-dawn time. So it is a sign of righteous people. Again, we have to cleanse these hearts to move any obstacles that may prevent us from benefiting from these dates. And this can be done by repentance. And know, dear brothers and sisters, whatever good things that we are deprived from may be caused by our sins. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, whatever calamity that may befall you is because of what you have done. So number one, clear our way from any obstacle, and this can be done by repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, understand and appreciate the value of these blessed days, and do not waste time. You know how we pay a lot of attention to our money, and we try our best to preserve it, save it, and invest it, cause it to grow. This is how we need to take care of our time. We need to protect it, preserve it. And the only way, then there is no, we cannot really increase our lifespan in this dunya. Our only way is by taking advantage of these blessed times, these seasons, good seasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide for us. This is how we need to guard our time, and know that appreciating this time and taking advantage of every second of the Dhul-Hijjah is a sign of the piety of the heart. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ حُرُبَاتِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ, whoever is conscious of the greatness of the worship sites of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever is conscious of the greatness of the rituals of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is indeed a sign of the piety of the heart. Salah is our link to Allah, the King of all kings. And in most cases it's broken. Salah is our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is the station through which we seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the strength from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we seek aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the power that enable us to face the daily challenges of life. We need to take care of it. If we don't pray in the masjid, please come in the masjid. Fill the masjid as we did in the month of Ramadan. Because again, these are very blessed days. Attend Salatul Jama'ah. And come have يعني keen interest to be in the first line. Come to Salatul Fajr, Salatul Isha, and stay after Salatul Fajr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever prays Fajr in Jama'ah and then stays until the sun rises while remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have the reward of a full and complete Hajj and Umrah. How long does it take? 45 minutes? 45 minutes? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tammatayni, tammatayni, tammatayni. A full and complete reward for Hajj and Umrah if you come pray Salatul Fajr and you stay reading Quran until the sun rises and you pray two rak'ah after that. It is not much to do but great reward, especially during these days. So basically, dear brothers and sisters, we should not equate these days with our normal days. We have to upgrade the level of our worship during the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Dhikrullah. Dhikrullah in abundance. Remembrance of Allah in abundance. Whenever the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned in the Quran, it is mentioned Dhikrullah kathira, in abundance. Because even the munafiqeen during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu zikrullaha zikran kathira. Oh, you who believe, remember Allah in abundance. Because after all, this is why we were created, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to have constant, be constantly conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are days of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Days of takbir, tahleel, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best form of dhikr is to read the Quran, to read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasting is also another act of worship that we can do during these days. Even though there is no authentic report that tells us that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted during these days. However, except the ninth. The ninth is the day of Arafah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast and he used to say that it wipes away the sins of the past year and the year to come. 2 years. So it's very, very blessed day. This is the day in which he fasted. Well, I'm saying that even though there is no authentic report that shows that he fasted during these days, but still they fall under his statement, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذَا الْعَشْرِ. That fasting is part of the righteous deed that is recommended, that's highly encouraged during these days. As-sadaqah, charity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, birr al-walidain, to be good to our parents, to show kindness, humbleness and generosity towards our parents. And know this is not only directed to our children, because all of us have parents. Even those of us who are old like me, they have parents. So they have rights, parents have rights, whether they are living or dead. We need to fulfill the rights of parents, especially during these days. Enjoying good and forbidding evil. This is a very virtuous act of worship that is neglected. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has advanced in many ayat wherever it's mentioned, like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are indeed the best nation that was sent forth for the goodness of mankind. What is the first quality? تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You enjoin good and forbid evil. This is the duty of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The prophets mission was to enjoin good and forbid evil. And the greatest good that we can enjoin is the call to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And the worst evil that we can forbid evil from is committing the shirk. So here in this ayah, the first quality is mentioned, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That the believing men and the believing women are protector friends of one another. The first quality that was mentioned, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ. They enjoin good, they forbid evil. Don't tell me that there is a righteous person who prays fast and see that a major sin that is committed before him without being raised because of this, that he is okay. Because we worship Allah, we love Allah, we love that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and we hate that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. And those things that Allah prohibited are part of the things that Allah hates the most, especially the major one. And therefore we should not be pleased. The least we can do is to censure this in our heart. But there are greater things that one can do by saying that, by enjoining good and forbidding evil, of course following the etiquettes and the manner that is specified in the book of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for enjoining good and forbidding evil. Guarding our tongue. Tongue leads to the hellfire. It is a leading cause for admitting people in the hellfire. And it is something that we do all the time without paying much attention to it, because it's easy to move this tongue. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that وَهَلْ يُكَبُّ النَّاسُ فِيهِ عَلَى وُجُوهِمْ في النار على وجوههم إلا حصائد وألسنتهم. That the harvest of the tongue is the main cause, leading cause for people to enter to the hellfire. Supplication is the most effective weapon in the hand of every believer. And don't tell me that there is someone who cannot supplicate. So even if we fail to supplicate, even though it is something within the ability of every one of us to supplicate, we fail miserably. And this is one of the reasons for the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because unlike people, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not as he gets angry. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. In general, dear brothers and sisters, we should not deal with the first 10 days of the Hijjah like we deal with any other days. Rather, we should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and engage in doing the righteous deeds. Try our best, inshaAllah, to devote time for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially knowing that there are some days off that many of us have during this specific time. Two more points that are most important that I would like you to remember in the end of my khutbah. Number one, the udhiyah. The udhiyah is one of the rituals of the day of Eid and the 3 days of Tashriq that follows the day of Eid. There is a difference between the scholars about the ruling of Al-Udhiyah. I believe that it is an obligation because of the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, من وجد ساعة فلم يضحي فلا يقربن مصلانا. Whoever is able to sacrifice it, he does not, let him not come close to the place of our Eid prayer. Now Rasulullah would not say something like this if this is not an obligation. However, one should be able to sacrifice, has the physical has the financial ability to sacrifice. And This sacrifice is wajib upon every household. It's not wajib upon every person. Rather, the head of the household is the person who is to sacrifice on behalf of the whole family. One can sacrifice by himself, by his hand, or authorize someone else, either here or somewhere out of this country, to sacrifice on his behalf. This is something, inshallah, we'll talk about it in more details next week. However, the most important thing that we need to keep in mind from today, because tomorrow could be the first of the Hijjah, or the day after tomorrow, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed those people who intend to sacrifice not to take anything from their hair or nail. Meaning, they are prohibited to clip their nail, or to take trim or take anything from their hair. And therefore, it's important that if you are planning to sacrifice, and I hope everybody is planning to sacrifice, we should abstain from this until we sacrifice. So this prohibition stays until the time we sacrifice, or know that the person whom we authorize to sacrifice has already sacrificed.